بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. And welcome productive Muslims to another interview with a productivity author. Today we have Graham Alcott, the productivity ninja. He is a productivity consultant and social entrepreneur. He's the founder and director of Think Productive, a leading UK productivity training company, and the author of How to Be a Productivity Ninja. Graham, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Thanks for coming to the call. We just want to now start off by telling us more about the How to Be Productive Ninja. But first, a bit about your company, Think Productive.
Yeah, so Think Productive, we're one of the UK's leading productivity workshop companies. We were started in 2009. And the reason we were set up was really on the back of my own struggles with my own productivity and realizing that I needed to get better at it. So I left a job as a chief executive of a charity. And in that job, I had a team of people around me who, you know, when I had an idea, could run off and do things and get stuff done. Suddenly, I was on my own. So when I went out on my own as a consultant in the charity sector here in the UK, I realized I needed all my own systems. So I started playing around with, different productivity books and blogs and started to develop a lot of my own systems around my own productivity and really fell into the idea of sharing that with others. So I was getting really passionate about things I was doing and people were saying, oh, tell me about this productivity stuff. So I ended up, I fell into running a couple of workshops really and it went from there. So realized that there was at the same time a real need for this stuff, particularly here in the UK. There was obviously a big recession going on and people really struggling with the stress of that and the workload and just all the information being chucked at them every day and realizing there's a real need to help people to get that stuff under control.
Brilliant, brilliant. If you can start off by also, you mentioned earlier about productivity systems. Do you believe in a productivity system or a productivity system that is suitable for each person?
I think it has to be tailored. I think there are principles that no matter what kind of system you use, you really need to apply. So we talk about capturing and collecting information, the thought process around organizing that and having some good tools around how you organize it. Some kind of review both daily and weekly, and then obviously some good habits around how you actually do things. And for me, that's really about the mindset of how to sort of overcome your own fears and overcome your own, you know, foibles and procrastinations and stuff.
And let's get on about this whole productivity ninja. In the book, you mentioned the 9 characteristics of how to become a productivity ninja. If you just walk through 3 of them only.
Yeah, sure. So the first 3 is the first one is Zen-like calm. Second one is ruthlessness, and the third one is being weapon savvy. So Zen-like calm, I think I'm a big believer in the best way to get one thing done is to only be working on one thing. So where a lot of sort of particularly modern technology gets in the way of that is that we're constantly being interrupted. We're constantly being told to try and multitask. And we're constantly being told to juggle 3 or 4 different things at one time. So anything you can do within your thinking to promote Zen-like calm so that when you're working on one thing, you're just totally present. You know, you're really in that moment. You're interacting only with the thing that you're working on, whether that's the Word document or the piece of paper or the meeting or the phone conversation or whatever that is. And you're not distracted by, you know, lots of other things going on at the same time. So being Zen-like calm is really important. Being ruthless. So what I really mean by being ruthless as a ninja, it doesn't mean, you know, going out there with your iPhone and trying to attack people or anything like that, but being ruthless with your own attention. So starting to think about how you can say no better and more often, how you can say no to yourself. So thinking about very simple things like turning the radio off when you're working. If you're slightly distracted by what's on that radio, then it's going to stop you from getting into that Zen-like calm state. So being ruthless. And the third one, being weapon savvy. So I'm a big believer in tools and technology and gadgets and stuff. But my belief in them is that they get things done, not that you should get excited and distracted by them. So I think people who queue for 3 days outside the Apple store to buy the latest iPhone, I kind of think, well, that's all well and good, but you've just spent 3 days not getting stuff done. So that tool better save you at least 3 days pretty quickly for that to be worthwhile time. time. So I really think, a big part of being weapon savvy is being aware not just of the technology, but of the impact that they have on your productivity and what that means. Yeah. So for me personally, a big part of that is not sort of, chopping and changing too much, keeping to one set of systems and keeping using that until such time that there's a new system that's really a lot better and that you can get a big payoff by switching to. Because, switching around is time where you're not getting stuff done. What you're actually doing is just, playing around with the tech or whatever.
Yeah. But some people, I got a lot of emails of saying that, they've tried to jump into into productivity. They've been focused for a couple of days. They've been working really hard, getting things done, but it's just finding it difficult to stay consistent, to just keep doing it every single day. So how, does the productivity ninja in your ideal, someone who actually is at it every single day, even when they don't feel like it?
Yeah, so a couple of the other characteristics that we talk about. So we talk a lot about mindfulness and preparedness. And for me, mindfulness is about really recognizing that we do need at times our brains to switch off. That's kind of useful. If you think about a computer, if you leave a computer on with 100 programs running, it starts to get tired at some stage. So being able to kind of, reboot that, switch it off, so whether that be prayer, whether that be meditation, whether that just be going for a quiet walk, however you do that, I think it's good to switch the brain into sort of different ways of thinking and, balancing some quietness with all the loudness and noise that we have in everyday life. And then preparedness. So thinking about how you can create more attention. So we don't really talk about time management. We talk about attention management. And I'm a big believer in, scheduling the tasks that really need your fullest attention at the times in the day where you're most likely to have that fullest attention. But I think the other thing that we can try and do is try and create more of that attention. So attention is a more finite resource than time. You could turn up at your desk, if you were sat at your desk at 3 o'clock on a, on a weekday afternoon and it's the weather's bad outside or whatever, then you might just feel a bit tired. You might feel like that you're overwhelmed because you've been dealing with a lot of stuff all week. And, you're there in terms of managing your time, but you're not really there in terms of managing your attention. There's just, you don't have that mental capacity to do the difficult stuff at that stage. So we talk about preparedness as a way of, perhaps being able to use things like nutrition and sleep and lots of other techniques, I know, which you talk a lot about on your site as well, to actually give you more of that, what we call proactive attention, more of that attention that's going to get the hard work done as well.
So is that like almost like building your focus muscle?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's one of those things that is often neglected in the whole field of productivity. I think people talk in productivity a lot about, whether one software program is slightly better than another one. And often we don't really get to the nub of some of those bigger issues about how we manage the biggest and best asset and tool that we have, which is our own minds,
Mm-hmm. You spoke earlier about developing sort of the productive habits. If someone's just starting off on this productive journey, what three habits would you highly encourage them to start developing now?
Good question. Can I give you four?
Sure. Go for it.
So I think the first one is be aware of where ideas come from, and then capture and collect that wherever they come from. So if you're out and about and you're walking down the street and you have an idea, how are you going to capture that so that you remember it later? Having some kind of way of always being able to capture those ideas would be number one. Number two is ask yourself really good questions. So we have a diagram in the book that takes people through a thought process around how you take all those different ideas that you've collected and then actually start to prioritize those into projects and actions and so on. Thinking very upfront about the kind of questions that you need to ask and getting yourself into a habit of asking those in quite a kind of ritual way.
Can you give us an example of those questions?
So a big question that I like to focus on is not, is there something that it can be actionable here, but actually, is this worth doing at all? Mm-hmm. So to start at the beginning by, before you even get started, and, most of the time our hunch is to look for the first possible thing we can do about this email that's come in, or the first thing we can do to react to this thing that's happening. And my thing is always, okay, what's the impact? So before you even get to that stage of starting to think about the action, is this going to add, you know, 20% to the company's profit margin, or is this a tiny little thing that's going to appease one person who's slightly annoyed? And, you know, really trying to weigh those up. Sometimes the emotional response that gets in the way of these things can be much stronger than actually the logical response of what's the impact here and what extra value in the world is this thing going to create?
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. And then the second two habits?
The third one would be review. So I'm a big fan of having a checklist review process. So I talk in the book about having a weekly checklist that you can run through. And again, that's about asking yourself those slightly bigger questions. So taking a step back and again thinking about impact, again thinking about how you're going to schedule the week ahead and do the stuff that needs more of your what we call proactive attention at the times where you're more likely to have that energy, but also doing daily checklist reviews as well. So having a time every morning where you really kind of set out the day and say, what are the interdependencies here? What are the things that I need to be focused on at different time periods during the day? And then the final one is really to develop good habits around your own do psychology. So I think a lot of people have systems that get them to the line of knowing what they need to do, but then they're scared, you know, or then there's just stuff that is just really boring and they can't be bothered. Or there are things that, for whatever reason, you just think, oh, well, that's probably going to, you know, wait until next week. I'll just leave it until then. So we get into this mindset where things get stuck. And I don't think we acknowledge that enough. You know, a lot of the kind of key texts around productivity for me don't really address what to do when you get stuck. So I talk a lot in the book about just the whole idea of resistance, the whole idea of overcoming those fears that you have. And also I talk about a few kind of shortcuts and techniques to almost cheat your own brain and start to develop ways to get over some of those particular very human foibles. So I do a thing called the Power Hour, which is just 1 hour a day. I pick a topic, something that I really am resistant to focusing on, whatever is at the time most kind of scaring me or most overwhelming me or whatever. And I just make a commitment to spend 1 hour on that. So it's not I've got to do this all day. Mm. It's not I've got to focus on this all week. It's just a 1 hour, Power Hour. Let's focus on that one thing. And do you know what? Once you've spent an hour on something, it's way less scary.
Yeah, yeah. And that's kind of linked to sort of fighting procrastination. You mentioned in a book something about secret procrastination. What's that?
Secret procrastination. I think there's a whole set of stuff that we like to procrastinate about that we like to also keep secret and not tell people about. So, you know, if you imagine you're in a sort of mid-level manager, you have lots of people that you need to impress who work for you. You also work for a boss that you need to impress and a team of people on that level that you need to impress, the senior directors or whoever they are. And so we get into this mode of having one set of sort of public thoughts or public tasks that we're doing. And then we have another set of private thoughts, which is the secret procrastination stuff, you know, where we're maybe thinking about a particular thing and we're maybe worried about the outcome of it, or we don't know where to start and we're afraid to ask because we feel like we should know, and all that kind of stuff. So I think getting that stuff, you need to get that stuff out there into the world rather than just being in your own head. So even if that's just writing that down on a piece of paper and then exploring those thoughts, I think that can be really helpful to kind of overcome it.
Also, have you heard about productive procrastination? The one where you basically spend all day long answering emails and you realize you're not doing anything done, but you're actually being productive. You're actually getting stuff done, but not the most important things done. So how does a ninja attack that?
Yeah, so I mean, I think there's a key thing again in there about ruthlessness for me, and always using that sort of ninja mindset to think about sort of cutting through the activity and thinking at the end about the impact. So one of the things that we do a lot within the company, within Think Productive, is we schedule email at different times. So we have so my own sort of personal practice around that is that in the morning, I tend to have my inbox turned off. And then in the afternoon, that's when I schedule some time to process all of the emails for that day. So most days of the week, I won't really look at email until about 1 p.m., kind of lunchtime. Mm-hmm. And it gives me that morning to really focus on the things that have the bigger impact rather than getting drawn into reacting to what everyone else does. We do so much work with big companies where, you know, everyone by standard issue these days has a BlackBerry or an iPhone. And, you know, they have their work phone as well as their home, the sort of personal mobile. And the first thing they do when they get out of bed is they check the emails that have come in overnight. So particularly if you're working in a global company, there's lots of people working while you're sleeping, right? So you want to kind of wake up and, you know, find out what's going on. But immediately what you're doing is you're setting up your day based on everyone else's priorities, not yours. Mm-hmm. So you're setting up your day based on what, you know, what things do you now need to react to that everyone else is thinking about, rather than actually, you know, committing to that yourself to say, what are the three or four most important things to me, and being ruthless about keeping your attention focused on those things.
That's quite important, the last point you mentioned about your productivity not being in your own hands. Sometimes, mm-hmm. for example, you might go to a meeting and that meeting is just so unproductive, but you can't just walk away, can you? I mean, what can you do to really, sometimes people, they mess up your productivity. If you're working on your own, things are all cool. But if you're actually working with others, or you're trying, or you're in, especially in a big corporate company, or even in other companies, people just take your time. Or even sometimes family. It doesn't have to be company work. It can be family, colleagues, you know, your kids. So how do you actually manage your productivity with so much demand on your own time and attention from those around you?
Yeah, so a couple of things in that. So there's one of the ninja characteristics is stealth and camouflage. This one always raises a few eyebrows. But if you're in a big company, and you know we work with companies where people are sat and they have the email inboxes open, they've also got some kind of instant messenger on the screen, like an MSN or a Skype type messenger program. They've also got the phone, which in a couple of the places we work, if one person's phone rings, it rings on every single person's desk. Because what's happening is, you know, their clients are using that number to call. And one of the values of the company is we need to answer the phone to those clients immediately, straight away, without fail. And that's kind of one of their very big priorities. But what that, of course, means is every time the phone goes, it sort of jumps you out of that zen-like calm, jumps you out of that thing that you're working on. So people work in this way that, you know, if you could design the most unproductive place you could possibly work in, you'd probably design a modern day office. You know, so people work in this very sort of fast paced, interruption driven environment. And so we talk about stealth and camouflage as really a technique and a mindset to get out of that culture. So you might be sat at your desk. It might be sort of 11 a.m. and you really need an hour's thinking time to think through what you're doing that week. You might have a particular, maybe it's a report that you're working on that is going to need some very focused thinking and organizing of those thoughts and so on. It's very difficult to do that in the office. So what we say to people is, you know, go and book a meeting room, or go and sit outside, or take yourself off for a walk, take a pen and paper, and sit somewhere else where no one can find you. So perhaps that's something that you can agree with your boss and say, look, I just need to get out of this particular moment and go and collect my thoughts somewhere else. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there's that lovely quote from Henry Ford where he says, thinking is the hardest work there is, which is the probable reason so few engage in it. And what's nice about that is it, you know, really illustrates the modern office quite well, I think. And what we tend to find is that bosses are very receptive to employees coming up to them and saying, look, I really need to do some quality thinking. We both know that's going to be one of the things that's going to get this job done really well. Is there a way that I can just spend an hour out of this particular environment to go and do that? You know, we always book a meeting room if we want to go for a meeting with the team. And we, you know, because the team needs that sense of not being distracted. But we very rarely do that for individuals. And I think, again, just that whole sense of getting out there, getting away from the sort of humdrum environment is really key.
Brilliant, brilliant. Now, I'm intrigued to know what tools, gadgets, software you use, just out of interest.
Yeah,
if you
sure.
If you can share your favorite tools, software, gadgets that are helping you become productive.
Quick rundown. So so what surprises lots of people is for years and years and years, I ran my entire system of lists and my entire productivity stuff off the tasks part of Microsoft Outlook. So I'm pretty simple when it comes to, you know, where to keep stuff. And like I said before, being weapon savvy for me is about realizing that when you keep moving stuff, then, you know, actually you're just wasting time by doing that. I've since moved to, because I used to sync that with BlackBerry, and BlackBerry was starting to annoy me. So I've moved to iPhone, and that made sense for me to make a bit of a leap. So I've now have most of my data and information is on a list program called ToodleDoo. That's the one that I use. And I find, certainly in the UK, the two that people tend to talk about a lot is ToodleDoo and Remember the Milk. So I think between our various productivity ninjas, the trainers that are going out delivering the workshops, we tend to use one of those two programs. What else do I like? Big fan of Evernote. So I use Evernote really. I don't use it in a very sophisticated way, but I use it as a way of being able to, you know, just dump little digital snippets of information. So that's a key part of my second brain is the stuff that I can't remember in my head just gets dumped into Evernote. What else do I like? There's a little thing I like called Captio, C-A-P-T-I-O. That's really nice for just collecting very quick thoughts, you know, when you're maybe in the middle of a conversation somewhere and you don't really want to get out and fiddle with ToodleDoo. So you can collect little thoughts and then have them emailed to a particular email address. So that's quite nice. What else do I use? Trying to think. I'm actually a big fan of pen and paper as well. So
I was waiting for that one.
It's a really sophisticated app. It's called A4. So my big thing is, if ever I have something that I really need to spend lots of time thinking about, I don't want the drag of having to think about the software as part of that. So I think pen and paper for me kind of takes away any of that resistance and just allows me to be much better. I've tried mind mapping programs and stuff like that, but again, you know, I think you have to be a pretty sophisticated user of those things to not even be thinking about the program. At that time, all I want to think about is, you know, whatever I'm thinking about, whatever that particular project is. So I'll quite often do stuff on pen and paper first and then put it into some kind of document or, you know, some kind of electronic form later on.
Brilliant, brilliant. Graham, if people want your book, where can they get it?
Yeah, sure. So the book's available. It's available on Amazon Amazon in the UK, US and various other places as well. But what I'd really encourage you to do is, instead of going to Amazon, if you go to the website of a charity called Read International, we've actually given the proceeds of the ebook sales, we've donated to this charity, Read International. What the charity does is it takes recycled textbooks from UK schools. So UK schools tend to get rid of their textbooks every couple of years. And in Tanzania, they have a pretty similar curriculum. So we ship books out to Tanzania, and they get into the hands of rural primary schools, rural secondary schools, and allow those schools to really up literacy rates and success rates in those schools. So if you go to readinternational.org.uk, you should see the little productivity ninja picture icon thing on the homepage. If not, if you just put in Read International, buy a book, change a life, just put that into Google, you'll find the book from there. And as I say, all the money from the ebook sales goes directly 100% to Read International. It's a really good way of buying one book here, and then as a result of that one book that you've bought, we reckon between 5 and 10 textbooks will go to Tanzanian schools.
Wow, brilliant, brilliant. What about people finding you? Where can they find you?
Yeah, sure. So we're based at thinkproductive.co.uk. If you log onto the site, that gives you details of all the different workshops that we run. We run workshops for companies predominantly in the UK, but we also work around Europe, and we also work in the US increasingly in the Middle East as well. So we're kind of starting to go a lot more global, and always happy to hear from you. So do drop us a line.
Brilliant, brilliant. Graham, thank you very much for a very, very practical and very helpful advice and from the Productivity Ninja. Do you guys have like a black belt, blue belt thing going on, or is that kind of, or some kind of levels up to becoming like from super ninja to normal ninja?
Well, it's often said that there's going to be a time where our productivity ninjas, because that's what we call the people who go out and do the workshops for us, they'll have to wear some kind of ninja suit. it's been often threatened and it's never been followed through. So we'll probably keep it that way for now.
All right. Thank you very much, Graham.
Cool. I'll just say thank you for everything that you guys do as well. I think the site's great and thanks for what you do.
Thank you. Okay, so today, so that was Graham Alcott from thinkproductive.co.uk and productivity and his book, Become a Productivity Ninja. We'll have all that in the show notes. So hopefully, if you want to know the practical day-to-day stuff on how to get things done, how to be productive, get the Productivity Ninja. And if even better, try to buy the book from the Read International charity so that every book you buy, they will send books to rural Tanzanian villages, textbooks to rural Tanzanian villages, and children can benefit from that, inshallah ta'ala. Thank you very much all for listening, and inshallah, see you next time with another productivity author. Assalamu alaikum.